see everyone this morning. A beautiful morning. Mm-hmm. Beginning to get a little warm out there, but it's all good. It's all good. Just a few announcements this morning. Open your heart Sunday. It's in the back. And if you feel dead, please do. Do we have any joys this morning?
Yes, Rob.
Continue to pray for Steve and Becky and their family.
Yes. I want to keep that lifted. I have a friend of mine, who's at Brandon Brown, his daughter, Ashley. We're going to continue to pray for her. Kevin Allen and Pam. Any others? Before we get started, I have a card here, and to all the six men who gave themselves their hard labor and help removing the tree, I cannot express my heartfelt gratitude. Your thoughtfulness means so much more than words can say. Thank you for the amazing church you are, for all you do and the difference you make. You are truly appreciated in God's name. From Betsy Bibles, we helped remove a tree this past week, and she was so grateful. So I'll put it on the back there if you want to take a look. She listed all six men, but I didn't think we had four. All right, we will read again this morning without Peter. Thank you. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright.
Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings.
Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts.
For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness.
He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth.
He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the depths in the storehouse.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples.
The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations.
Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
Our first hymn, Morning Has Broken.
Continue in our worship and enter into a time of prayer. Would you join me in a prayer of confession found on page 12 in your hymnal? And let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, and we have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us pray in silence. Hear the good news, beloved of God. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And let us pray. God of creation, God of us all, we give you thanks for the beauty of this day. For in the sunshine and the breeze, in the flowers and the crops rising, in the trees flourishing and the birds singing, we are in awe of your creation. And in it, we're reminded that we too were created in your image. God, as we gather in this, your place and house of worship, we give thanks for the privilege that it is to gather, to pray together, to sing, to hear your scriptures read and proclaimed, to gather at the table of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be strengthened for the week ahead. Lord, as we come to this time of worship and prayer, we lift up to you our joys. We give thanks that Rylan has returned home. We give thanks for Megan and Mike and others who are returning from trips. God, we celebrate the connection of church community that come together to take down a tree. God, we are the many members of one body, and we do this shared life of faith together. In this time of prayer, we also lift up our concerns to you. We continue to pray for Steve and Becky, for their family, in this time of unexpected grief and loss. We pray for Ashley and her family. We pray for Kevin and Pam. And God, in this time of prayer, we ask that you lend an ear to the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts, which we offer to you now. O God, you have called and invited us to be a part of this, your church, that we might offer our love of you and love of neighbor, that we might continue to build your kingdom here on earth. So we ask that your Spirit continue to inspire us, to strengthen us, and to nourish us as we seek to be the hands and feet of Christ in this, your world. This we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together and sing hymn 451, Be Thou My Vision.
Oh, Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's so good to be with you all. I could tell lots of stories on Pastor Steve, but I won't this morning. I will say, though, when I was a youth and attending the annual conference, he was a district superintendent. So to come and serve in this role and to have him as a mentor and colleague is such a blessing. And I will also, the other story I will tell is I have probably passed this church for years. Right? Going to the river, going to see family, right? And so I am just thrilled to be here and connected with you in a different way in this season of life and ministry. So thank you for the warm welcome and invitation. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts gathered here would be pleasing in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock. You are our firm foundation. You, O God, are our Redeemer. Amen. Bishop Desmond Tutu once said, "We are made to tell the world that there are no outsiders." These few words cut to the very center of the gospel message, that Jesus' life and teaching and saving works are for everybody. Amen. He speaks to us as those who are created in the image of God, that we were made, intricately designed to tell the world that all are welcome, all deserve to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a powerful message, but in practice, it's a lot harder. We could say, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, or life's hard, right? However, when I contemplate why Bishop Tutu's words challenge us, I'm struck by the fact that it requires a willingness to make the message of Jesus Christ other-centered. It's not just about us. It's about the collective. And I think And I think it requires us to embrace a different way of being in relationship. The Christian life is an alternative way of living and being. What do I mean? Well, oftentimes we align with folks who we have stuff in common with. Sports teams, we don't need to talk about that right now. Sports teams could be where your kids went to school, could be what you like to make, could be hobbies, the list goes on and on. That's typically how we align ourselves. Family, similar interests. However, the ability to share the gospel message is dependent on the ability to share beyond the bounds. There are no bounds. To change our way of relating when perhaps the only thing we have in common is that God Almighty created us in God's image. This changes the game. This levels the playing field of power so that relationship is centered around the good news and how this message transforms lives. Jesus modeled this way of relating beyond the bounds, and it stirred things up because it reeked of change. And even then, change was hard. That's the shocking and obvious reality. Change is hard. Change is hard, and yet when it's done holistically and with care and attention, it can be a gift of transformation to a person, to a life, to a community. Jesus knew that. And the gospel lesson that we are about to hear today introduces us to three different people, okay? Oftentimes, if you pay attention, scripture really packs it in. It's not just about one person or one interaction. Jesus will meet three different people in his ministry today. Three different walks of life, three different experiences, all in what would be deemed outside the bounds. These are outsiders. And yet, Jesus finds a way to speak to even them. Our scripture today comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 to 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with the man, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all of that region. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Jesus' entire ministry embodied an energy and an attitude of change, of adaptability. He was sent and came to us here on earth because change was then and still now needed. It was and is the template for his entire mission and ministry. Now, the idea of a Messiah was not unfamiliar to the folks of Israel, okay? They had heard of this through the scriptures. Think of what we hear at Advent time as we're preparing for Christmas. The Messiah is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Other scriptures talk about the Messiah as a mighty king and a warrior. They had in their minds, this is who will come. And then a baby shows up. Jesus was not what they were expecting at all. He embodied a change that was not only for the sake of change, right? But for the transforming quality that he wanted to share with others. He had a story and a life-altering thing worth sharing. That is God's love for us. I believe the fullness of who Jesus is can be found in this passage. The Gospels are rich with it, but you heard he's here and he meets someone else and then he's going there and he meets someone else. It's just so full of who Jesus is, where his interactions with three unlikely folks display just how much change is needed to convey the accessibility of the gospel, that it really is for everybody. All right, we have three unclean people in this text. Unclean in their own ways. In this vignette, these few verses show the diversity of Jesus' work and interruptions, right? He's trying to get somewhere and he keeps getting interrupted. We all know how that feels. And he keeps getting interrupted, but it produces more opportunity for transformation every time he gets interrupted. So first we see him calling and inviting Matthew, a tax collector, dun dun dun. And he's moving through the crowd, and he's got Matthew following, and he's moving through the crowd, and a religious leader finds him and says, "My daughter's died, and I know if you come, she'll live." And then when he's, okay, Matthew, come on, and he's trying to go to the religious leader's house, a woman sneakily grabs his robe and to herself says, "If I just touch his cloak, I'll be healed." Each of these persons have been shunned by society. Tax collectors often took too much and took advantage of the weak. Religious leaders used the law for exclusion rather than accessibility. And a bleeding woman deemed unclean and most likely spent most of her days alone. And yet, Jesus is willing to go beyond expectations to tell them, you too are created in the image of God. Matthew becomes an unexpected disciple, part of this motley crew with Jesus. He's closest to Jesus. The religious leader experiences a miracle so that he can go and tell others likewise. And this woman, ailing for years, has a tangible experience of faith. Each are more than their occupation or what makes them unclean. I wish they were given names in this text. I think it's more powerful that they're unnamed. Jesus still sees them. Each of these persons is worthy of love and this message of God's mercy. And the message that you are welcome here. The bounds of God's love have been drawn wider and wider until all know the message of grace. In the mid-90s, there was a hymn that was written to challenge the church about what it meant to foster beloved community. What does it mean to see others, to see God's created image in each person? And this song was called Draw the Circle Wide. Draw the Circle Wide. And it came from a pastor who was preaching and said, we've got to draw the circle wider so that everyone can experience Jesus. I mean, that's our homework, y'all. To tell other people about Jesus. And so this pastor is saying, we have to draw the circle wide. A few years later, in 2011, the song would get a new kind of upgrade. And it would go on to continue to change the world, to change believers, to be a part of this drawing of the circle. And the refrain of the hymn goes like this. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. Jesus is truly exhibiting the embracing nature of the message that needs to be told and shared with everyone, with each other, beyond these walls, in our communities. This is a powerful statement for the world that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But to live out this life and practice, sometimes it's harder. So the question I leave for us to ponder today, for you and for me, is this. What is at stake? What's at stake if we fail to draw the circle wide and beckon more people into God's overwhelming love? And what's at stake? And what is available to us when we seek to offer hospitality and welcome? Well, my hunch is everything is at stake if we don't. And everything is available to us as a faith community if we do. Jesus models for us that it is possible to live into a new way of being, a community who welcomes those who have thus far been able to join the table. And in the invitation, one that we will receive in just a few moments, in the invitation that we share, others might know the joy and the love and the forgiveness and the transformation and the healing meal of God and Christ's table. They will know the knowledge and faithfulness of God. Friends, this is good news. This is good news. And I pray that we collectively, not just shepherds, but we would be a church that is always seeking new ways to not just invite bottoms into pews. I was going to say something else. Bottoms into pews. But that we're inviting people, pulling up a chair to sit at the table of Christ, because all are welcome here. Would you pray with me? God, through your scriptures, we see how your Son, Jesus Christ, offered hospitality and invitation and welcome. His life and ministry is an example for us that we too are meant to offer welcome and hospitality. God, help us to be humble in order to carry out this good work. Give us courage and joy to share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, that all might know your love and mercy. Amen. During the next song, you're invited to come and give of your offerings that we give back a portion of what we have to celebrate what God is doing through the ministries, through this community, and through the world. Thank you. had received these, our gifts, that they might be seeds of transformation and growth and blessing in this your kingdom. Amen. This is not Shepherd's table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church. This is Christ's table, and all are welcome here. Please join me as we pray together the words of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. From seeds you brought forth the grain of the field. From the fruit of the vine we set this table with your Son as the host. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to this your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so as we remember these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory and power and dominion is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as the beloved children of God, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Because there is one loaf, we who are many all partake of the one loaf. And the bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The table is set. Come and receive this holy meal of grace. Given yourself to us, grant that we who have received this meal of grace may go out into the world ready to share the good news of your love and of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand once again to sing together, "This is the Spirit's Entry Now."
Thank you.
God, we have received the best news that there is. But Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and this is the invitation that we prepare to take out those doors. So take this good news in your heart, in your words, and in your action this week. Go forth in the love that is God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.